All right. Welcome to Lent. I think it's an underrated season of the church year. I think it's really misunderstood, and you can see why. Because it begins with ashes, right? On Ash Wednesday, it begins with ashes. Some of us were here and put a smudge of ashes on our forehead. Yeah, it looks kind of weird, doesn't it, Parker? Lent is the season of the church year that begins with ashes, and it ends with the execution of an innocent man. It ends with the death of Jesus on the cross. It's not quite as much fun as Advent, when we get to put up the Christmas tree and get ready for Christmas. Lent also begins with this story that we heard this morning. With a bit of levity, I will grant you. This story that we heard this morning is the traditional story for starting off the season of Lent in the church. It's what we call the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Now, we should be clear that in the Bible, the wilderness is a place of encountering God. It's a place of wandering. That's why we have the burlap. It's a place of wandering. It's a place of growing, of spiritual growth. But it's also a place, as we saw, where demons dwell. It's a place of danger. Jesus also fasted for 40 days, nothing to eat or drink. But fasting really wasn't all that unusual in Jesus' time. Elijah and Moses, way before Jesus, were also said to have fasted, preparing for their ministry. And this is what Jesus does in preparation for his new job, is he fasted. But for Jesus, while he is there fasting, the devil comes and starts nagging at him, starts pestering him, starts tempting him. Now, usually we hear this story and think that it's a model for us to resist temptation. It's a model for us to not give in to all those urges, all those things that we'd like to do that aren't healthy for us. It's a model for us to resist doing the things that aren't nice to do to other people, or aren't beneficial for the community around us. Jesus is our role model for resisting temptation and living a better life, at least for the 40 days of Lent. If Jesus can go 40 days without food or water, surely I can go 40 days without chocolate. If Jesus can go 40 days alone in the desert, surely I can go 40 days without checking Facebook. Yeah, no giggles on that one. If Jesus can go 40 days without giving in to that pesky, nagging Satan, surely I can go 40 days without punching my sister. Or my brother. But if you look a little closer at the story, you'll see that really there's a whole lot more here than simply challenging us to stop doing what we shouldn't and becoming better people. Listen closely to what it is that the devil says to Jesus. What Satan says to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Wouldn't you like to have all the glory and all the authority over all the kingdoms on the earth? I could give that to you. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this high place because you know God will protect you. Surely. Now let me ask you, which of these temptations sound bad? Which of these temptations sounds like something bad to do? If you're hungry, is it a bad thing to eat? No? Well, depends on what you eat, right? Depends on what you eat. But if you're hungry, especially after 40 days, Jesus had to be pretty hungry. I don't think it's a bad thing to nourish your bodies. And think about it. If we were king or queens of the world, had all the power and authority, maybe we could stop war. Maybe we could end discrimination if we had all that power and authority. Maybe we could stop fighting. Yes. See, it wouldn't be a bad thing to have power and authority. And that last one, Jesus is simply being tempted for safety and protection, right? To test and see how protected we are. Feeling safe is really important in life, right? These aren't bad things that Jesus is being tempted to do. In fact, it's our job as people who follow Jesus to make sure people have enough food to eat. It's our job as people who follow Jesus to make sure people can feel safe. It's our job as people who follow Jesus, to make sure people who aren't getting access to social power and political power have access to the voting booth, right? This is our job. Now, my point here is that this story really is not so much about the devil trying to get Jesus to do bad things. Things that are going to get him in trouble with his parents. Things that will get him in trouble with the police. Things that will get him in trouble with his spouse, which of course he didn't have, but. The devil is not sowing seeds of bad behavior. The devil is sowing seeds of mistrust. The devil is sowing seeds of mistrust. If you go back to the opening sentence in this story, it'll trigger your memory to recall what just happened to Jesus. That first line was, "Filled with the Holy Spirit, he returned from the River Jordan." What happened to Jesus at the River Jordan? He was baptized. Jesus was just baptized. And at his baptism, God makes an announcement. God says, "You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased." You see, the devil here is not tempting Jesus toward bad actions. The devil is tempting Jesus away from his relationship with God. He's tempting him away from that identity that says, beloved child of God. If you are the Son of God, do you really believe you are God's beloved child? Do you really trust God's intentions for you? You might go hungry, so you better whip up some extra food. Store a little bit more in your pantry just in case. You know, what you've got might not be enough. You better take a little more. How do you know you can believe what God just told you? You better double check. The heart of this story And really, the heart of the 40 days of Lent is not temptation. It's not trying not to do bad things. The heart of this story, the heart of Lent, is whether or not these temptations get in the way of trusting what God announced to Jesus at his baptism. The heart of Lent for us is trust, is whether or not these temptations get in the way of us trusting what God announces to each of us at our baptism. You are my beloved child. We are all God's beloved children. Do you trust that? We could use a little Lent these days. The news reminds us each day that the layers of racism and class privilege run deep in our society and in our world. The news reminds us every day that our nation has become so polarized that we no longer look upon those with whom we disagree with curiosity, but with contempt. And last year's UN report on climate change offers a pretty grim picture of our planet's future. With this kind of stuff swirling around us, we are tempted to live lives driven by fear, self-preservation, suspicion, mistrust. We are tempted away from living lives as beloved children, unless, of course, I can be more beloved than you all, which is really the way it goes, right? We could use a little Lent these days. We could use a journey into the wilderness where we can encounter the world without all the stuff that we use to numb ourselves to the hunger, the uncertainties, and the challenges in life. The comfort foods, the comfort social media, the comfort busyness, so that we don't have to think about it. We could use a journey into the wilderness where we find out what life is like with no comfort but God alone. Giving up a comfort is not going to make the bleak realities vanish. But a journey into the wilderness can, will, reground us in our relationship to God and to one another as beloved children. A journey into the wilderness can restore us to our call to live lives that are shaped not by fear, not by self-preservation, not by suspicion or mistrust, but to live lives that are shaped by grace, compassion, mercy. I urge each of us in these next 5 weeks to take a Lenten journey and leave behind just one small thing I deleted the game apps from my phone. Leave behind one small thing that we are certain we can't live without. One small thing which we are certain makes us who we are. And then, when we hear that voice in our head saying, "You're gonna starve. You won't be you anymore. You're gonna go nuts without that solitaire app," we can all say together, "Not today, Satan." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I am going to invite you.